Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, yeah.
ADF. ESG.
Open your eyes and realize ADF and ESG. Mind goes so high, walking through the door, make y'all scream for more. Sound so sick, it hits you through your core.
That's right.
Diamond on the Rough Show with Ordinary Woman and Mountain Man.
Hey,
how you
people.
Doing?
I'm doing awesome. I am just like pumped. It's been an amazing week. I'm so excited. 2010. Could it be any cooler than that? I just love the sound of that. I just can't get enough of it.
I cannot get this sound of it either. But tell us, what was up with that intro?
That is actually ASG, and I love it. It's called Feel It, Get It, Get It, and I just love it because as soon as I hear it, I just want to jump around the room and start dancing with it because I felt. That's what I feel. We got to go get it, people. Let's go. Let's go. 2010 is here. We're 7 days into it, lucky seven, so we need to go out there and get it this year so there's no laments, no complaints. Get out there and get yours and make sure that you make it a great day and a great day and a great week and a great year so you don't have any more regrets. So, yeah, definitely excited about all the things we've got coming on. We've got a lot of events coming up and a lot of great guests that we're going to be featuring this year. So, and a lot of great segments that we're going to be doing. So, definitely, definitely something to be excited about. Thursday. I can't believe it's Thursday already.
I cannot believe it's Thursday, but real quick, I just pulled up our chat room. And
that's
I see
house.
We
hey, everyone.
Have everybody in there. Let's see. We've got the co-host of Ordinary Woman, Betty, Harry Girl, JJ2341, John, Mary2343, Megastar, NH Gives Back, Sally.
New Hampshire gives back. Hey, how are you? We got Sally, Walter, and is that William? Hey, William.
That is
how
William.
Are you? William. Oh, my gosh. We have the best people ever. Now, I put up on the chat room, there's some information about the event that's going on Sunday. For those of you that just tuned in, welcome. The information in the chat room, if you're not in there, letting you know about Deborah Crosby's Talent Showcase. That's going to be on Sunday. Need to be there. The show starts at 6, but the doors open early. Dinner starts at 5. The tickets are $10 each if you had purchased them earlier by the 2nd, which, of course, has already gone by, and they're $15 now. They're still available. I put the link up there that you can click on, and it'll get you to the information. Or you can Google Deborah Crosby Rising Star at the Hard Rock Cafe on Facebook, and that'll pop up in all the information. You can buy the tickets online as well. Really excited. I just got the surprise announcement that Louis Bello is going to be performing. And for those of you that aren't familiar with Louis Bello and his sister, oh, my goodness. They are just, on top of the fact that they're incredibly talented, they're just the sweetest, nicest, down-to-earth people that I've ever met. I mean, their parents did right by them. They're just very warm and loving and kind. And if anybody deserves to have success and joy in life, it's them too. And I'm just looking forward to it. Seeing them perform and to seeing all the new talent that's going to be there. I'm really excited for the celebrity judges that are going to be there. And yours truly, Ordinary Woman, is going to be a judge, which I'm just so excited about. I cannot wait.
But aren't you the only special guest that we judge that we've had on our show, is it?
No, not at all. As a matter of fact, I have the list right here, and I have to give a little props to Cardiac. He's also going to be there as a guest judge.
Yeah, Cardiac.
He's a rapper, actor, a little bit of everything. Also, I have the list here, Donna Lee DePrill. She's a rock musician, singer, artist, and she was actually the 209 finalist on community auditions in the local area. The celebrity judges are going to be Max Bowen. He's a host producer of Citywide Blackout Radio Show, an amazing person. Myself, yours truly, Cardiac, as we mentioned. Let's see. We also have, where's the other one? I lost my page. Anyway, those are some of the judges, the celebrity judges. We also have Malik Williams. If anybody's involved with the music scene, everybody knows who Malik is. He's just an amazing person. He's a producer, composer, musician, publisher. He actually won the 209 Boston Music Awards Producer of the Year Award for Pop and R&B. He's going to be a celebrity guest judge. And honestly, if anybody's going to be in awe of him, it will be me. Because he's another one that not only is he just an incredible talent, but he's just a wonderful person trying to help the music community, the community in general. He's just there to help, to mentor, to just progress and showcase the music scene in Boston. So, yeah, it's going to be an amazing night. I'm hoping everybody can come down. It's at the Hard Rock Cafe in Boston from 5 to 8 p.m. Sunday, January 10th. And I hope that you can all come down and support this great cause to get the unknown artists out there and support it.
Wow.
It's
going to
be a great, great event. Also,
that is
real quick.
So-
if
awesome.
You guys are on Facebook, you might notice some really weird little things coming up. Most of your female friends, mothers, sisters, wives, girlfriends have one word on their profile today as their update, and it's a color. And I guess it's late enough in the day that I can let the secret out. The whole premise is to bring awareness to breast cancer. I personally had my mother-in-law pass away from breast cancer a few years ago, and I miss her dearly. We were blessed that she lived a long and prosperous life, and she was well in her 70s when she passed, but it's very devastating and debilitating to see someone go through that. So one of the things we've been doing on Facebook to get awareness and hope that the men folk will ask, why do you have a color on your profile? The question was, what color bra are we wearing? And we just put that one word up there, hoping that someone would ask us what it means and we can give them the little thing about breast awareness. Make sure you get out there. If you can do the Susan Cohen breast walk, which one just went by, is coming up in May. There's another one. You need to do it. It's very important. This is one disease that we have to get rid of. The big misconception is that only women get it. Not true. Men suffer from breast cancer as well. And unfortunately, men are the highest population that is underdiagnosed, not diagnosed in time, because it's just not a men's disease. People don't think of it that way, but yes, it is. Men do have breast cancer. They can get it, and we need to get the word out. We need to get this disease over and done with. So anything you can do, it is true that the breast walk is not until May, but there's a lot you can do between now and then. You can start fundraising to get a team going. You can get the awareness out. You can let people know about what's going on. Get heard, get seen, and get this disease eradicated from the face of the earth so that wonderful women will continue to be in your life. So that was my little spiel for today. Mountain Man, what have you been up to?
Well, I just want to continue a minute or two more on that.
Mm-hmm.
I would encourage all our listeners, not only in the Boston and Massachusetts area, but in your own towns, cities, states, whatever, I would encourage you all to find a walk just like this and joining it.
Absolutely, and there's so much more you can do. I mean, if you can't walk, you can volunteer to help out, to hand out water or help out with the there's a lot of volunteers that go behind the breast walk because it's a 3-day walk. It starts, it's a whole weekend event. And the whole premise is that someone from your team has to be on the track at all times walking. And it's kind of cool. You camp out. You can set up tents if you want, because a lot of them are usually held in stadiums or fields. And it's a great way to bond and to remember those less fortunate than us that have gone on, or also to honor the survivors. Because last year's breast walk, I got the opportunity to meet a lot of survivors that have beat the disease, have been able to overcome it. And then there were those of us that haven't had the disease, but were there to remember someone that we had lost to it, that we didn't want them to just become a faded memory. We want to make sure that people understand this disease has a face, it has the consequences, and when a loved one comes down with breast cancer or cancer of any form, it's not just this bare disease, it belongs to the whole family. The whole way of life changes, the way things are done changes, and it can be very devastating to a family. So that support is vital, the money that goes into the research is vital, the support services are vital. It's very important to not let this disease feed us, not take wonderful people away from us, and to always remember to keep the word out. I understand the breast walk is once a year or twice a year, depending on the area that you're in. This is a battle we have to fight every day until we get this disease eradicated and we no longer lose anybody to it. So that's
right.
My encouragement for today. Mountain Man, what in heaven's name have you been up to?
Well, it is so funny that you bring up the cancer awareness.
Mm-hmm.
I want to let a lot of our listeners know that my girlfriend, I'm holding up very dearly, and this past holiday season was kind of hard for her.
Right.
Because her mother passed away from cancer.
Right.
And you know her, Charlie.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And you know how willing she's able to do stuff for us. Okay.
Right.
And I wasn't sure about what kind of cancer it was, but I know she had cancer, and I was there for her, and this year was kind of a hard time for her, so I really hold her up, and I really was there to try to comfort her as much as I can. So
and it's very important that, the comforting is vital in us doing something about it to make sure that we can get rid of this disease, and for some of our listeners that have been along the way, you know that that's one thing we do. Every month we try to highlight a nonprofit or an organization or something. We've talked about the Lupus Foundation. We've talked about the Suitcase for Kids, which is a drive to make sure that every child that's in foster care has their own suitcase so they can have some semblance of dignity when they get moved from home to home and not have to carry their personal belongings in trash bags, which can just be so dehumanizing. So it just affects your self-esteem. There's such a difference when a child has a suitcase that's his, that he can lock it or she can lock it, and they feel, at least for that instance, that their belongings are safe and have some semblance of value to them.
Mm-hmm.
The other organizations, of course, is the Breast Cancer Awareness. We've also talked about the adoption programs and foster care programs. We talked about the Casey Family Services that have a bunch of children between the ages of somewhere between the ages of 9 to 15 that are hard to place. These are children that will not be reunited with their biological families. These are children that are in desperate need of foster homes and of an adopted family, someone that will love them and care for them. These children are actually wards of these agencies of DSS. They're never going to go back to their families, and they need to find a family that will love them and understand them.
Mm-hmm.
And they're hard to place. Yes, they are. A lot of us, when we think of adopting or foster care, we think of a cute little baby that we can take and become part of the family, but it's the older ones that really need us. So we've talked about them too, and there's a couple of more organizations that we've talked about and we will continue to talk about. So for our listeners, if you have any organizations or any programs that you'd like us to know about or let our listeners know, feel free to call us. And on that segue, I will give our listeners our number. I know I totally always forget to do that.
Well, I was just going to say segue. Let's give our numbers out as 347-989-1473. And
yes. Or you can go to our website, which is www.blogtalkradio.com/ordinary woman. And woman is spelled W-M-N. And you can come into our chat room or you can Skype us. Ordinary Woman, same spelling, W-M-N. Is the name to look us up on Skype, and you can reach us that way as well. For those of you that were here on Tuesday,
girl.
Oh, my goodness.
Tuesday, come on.
It's been a rough week. I'm so excited, yet it's like it's been crazy. And it's a good thing.
I know,
it means that I'm alive.
Well, I know you had asked me a question, and I will answer it, but I wanted to make sure that we got all our important information out within the first few minutes. in which we did. And
yes, we did. We're actually on a roll. We didn't forget stuff.
Which is good. Which is good, good, good. And actually, I met with a friend of ours today, Charlie. From
Who was it?
Sandra.
Sandy.
Oh,
my gosh. There's a name from the past I haven't heard in forever. How is she doing?
She is doing good. I am actually needing to talk with you after. But anyhow.
Yes, Sandy actually is this amazing person. She works with a nonprofit organization that helps people with disabilities find placement in jobs that are suitable for them. And she's just an amazing person, an amazing personality, and that's another show we need to have someone from that organization come on and talk. Because we keep plugging organizations, and we're not like, we don't have the blessing from them. So I keep thinking we're going to get a cis and desist order like people. We're not associated with that crazy woman. But that's the way we roll here. It's like, you know what?
And that's why I'm not even talking really much about it. And that's why I brought it up the way I did.
She's just an amazing person, yes. She's just an amazing person. So for those of you that were with us on Tuesdays, we talked about the problem that people have with resolutions. People will make a New Year's resolution, and it's almost like they falter before they're even out of the gate. So we talked about that on Tuesday. We talked about ways to make those resolutions. And three of the things that we talked about, which is very important because we want to make it simple, people. The three things we talked about was your mindset, the action you're going to take, and baby steps, and then we're going to rewind and start all over again.
And on that note,
On
that note, I didn't get to finish the story, but that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
But I do want to remind our listeners from Wednesday about our little challenge.
Mm-hmm.
If you remember our little challenge.
Right. We have a challenge this year that we are going to maintain a positive mindset. And two of the words we're going to eradicate from on-air usage is going to be need to and have to. Because those words imply that we are being forced to do something or that we are in desperate straits and we have a desperate need to do something. So those two words we're going to get rid of because they actually right off the bat give negative connotations. And we're not going to do something that we have to do. No child wants to have to do anything. And the worst thing is when we feel needy, like we need to do something, because it's not our choice. So we're going to change those words, right, Mountain Man?
That's right.
And what are we going to use instead?
If any of our listeners hear us say any of these words, like need, want to, and all of those, the negative comments, we would like, I believe it was, what was it? We would like you to call in to the show.
Yes, you call into the show, but make sure you're prepared because we're going to put you on the spot. You can get the call-in show for the show. And for the next 5 minutes, you get to take over the show, which means you get to give us a positive message. You get to let people know who you are, what you're about, and you get to become an instant on-air host. So that's the thing, where we have to make sure that we stay positive, which starts with our mindset. The mindset is the most important thing we have to adjust in order to make our goals a reality, our resolutions a reality, and for us to be able to have the kind of life that we want to have, to accomplish the things that we want to accomplish, not because we have to or because we need to, but because we want to. And want is the word that we really want to use. So you can be excited about doing something, passionate about it, pumped up about it, any of those words to make sure that when you are doing something, the passion comes from within, which is what we also talked about as far as the goals. Picking three goals that are simple, that are easy for you to do. I don't care if the goal is that you're going to go from brown hair to blonde hair, short hair to long hair. Because you get extensions, whatever it is that you want to do, teach yourself to know what the feeling is of success. And if all you do today is clean off a little portion of your world and that makes you feel good, awesome, because that means tomorrow you can do a little bit more and then a little bit more. And that's how it starts. Stop looking at this huge, humongous, 1,000-piece puzzle that's in the box, and you're sitting there saying, there is no way I'm going to get this done.
Mm-hmm.
Trust me, if you take one piece at a time, one little piece, little by little, you will be able to accomplish and get all those big pieces together. And then you'll see the big picture. That mess that you saw in there, and it was just blue and white and yellow, will turn from this big mess of pieces into this beautiful scene of a sunset near the beach with the sky and everything. And that's how you guys have to have that mentality. You've got to get away from these things that are shoved down our throat and realize that you can have a happy and productive life doing the things that you love to do, getting paid to do it, be able to have a balanced relationship with your family, with your friends, with your loved ones, with your coworkers, with life in general, and still be a very productive, caring, loving person in our society. And if people tell you otherwise, they're trying to sell you a lie.
Mm-hmm.
Now remember, I said balance. I didn't say perfect. I didn't say you're not going to have challenges. I didn't say you're not going to have a mortgage to pay, or someone's not going to cut you off in traffic and you're not feeling very loving at that moment. Those things will continue to happen. The difference is, what is your reaction going to be to them? That's the key word, and that's what we're going to pick up today to get you to think about those resolutions and what we can do to make them a reality.
Really?
Real quickly, to remind our listeners, our show is an hour and a half long today. We will be here till 8:30. You have plenty of time to call, make yourself known, let us know where you are, where you're at, what you're about. Real quickly, before we do go into this segment, I got an email from a gentleman today in California, which is very exciting.
Is that now,
Joel from California?
Is this that gentleman that we spoke to the other day?
No.
Or is this another one?
It's another one. I am so excited. Joel from California emailed me, and he said, I just wanted to drop you a quick note that I caught your segment the other day, and I was very pleased to hear the way you simplified the concept of making resolutions. Like, resolutions for me were always something that was negative, and I really didn't want to do them, but I just felt the pressure to make resolutions, even though deep down inside I knew I was never going to do them. This year, after I accidentally came onto your show, and surprise, surprise, you guys were talking about resolutions, it made me realize that I could do it. While my resolutions are really things that are going to be good for me because they're going to make me healthier, a better person, the instinct to know that I need to get this done. Now I understand that I don't need to get it done. I want to get it done. So to Mountain Man and to you, I just want to say thank you very much, and here's to a shiny, sparkling 2010, and I will continue to tune in. Your friend, Joel from California. So Joel, if you're listening, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. That letter just made my night, made my week, and I'm really excited that that's how it happens. And Mountain Man, you had a similar experience where things just happened. You actually were listening to a show with Cassandra.
Yes.
And she actually called us, and if you could tell our listeners a little bit about that very uplifting conversation we had with Cassandra.
Well, I was actually on her show again yesterday. Her show is at Wednesdays at 1 o'clock in the afternoon, and I had joined her show again yesterday. She is an amazing young lady. Even though her picture may be an older picture, but I always say to all the ladies, young ladies, because in our mind, in my mind, it doesn't matter how old you are. You're beautiful in your own way. Okay. And she does a lot of spiritual and reading from the Bible. But she is a very uplifting person, and she was just so awesome. I had a very lengthy conversation with her one day over the last 2 or 3 weeks, and her and I had just hit it off, and I had asked her to pop into our show and to see what our show was about.
Now, the thing with Cassandra, too, when she called, when you say young lady, it you can just feel the energy in her voice. I mean, it was just such an experience to listen to her voice and the message that she gave, and just it pumps you up. Like, you can actually feel yourself being recharged from her energy that comes through on her messages. And, again, for people, I don't want you to feel uncomfortable when we're talking about religion, because we don't believe in shoving anybody's particular religion. It was more about spirituality, which is what she did. It was, she was talking about beliefs and spirituality, being connected with the spirit. My goodness, it was. It was an amazing experience, man, and I'm glad that you ran into her. Real quick, guest 2734, thank you so much for joining us in the chat room. John, it's nice to have you back. I hadn't seen you in a while. What you been up to? I know John was out in Denver, which I keep teasing it about, because I'm like, John Denver? He's like, no.
Wait a minute. John was out in Denver?
John was out in Denver. Hey, John, how's it going? I'm
John, I hold you up because Denver is an awesome, Colorado altogether is an awesome state.
Really?
I have to hold Colorado up because Colorado was my home state.
That's awesome. I've never been there. I really want to go. I've heard it's wonderful. But, John,
it
so
is
much for coming
absolutely
back.
Gorgeous. And it is such an awesome sight to see.
Yes, so the fact that you were the reason that when we talked to Cassandra, one of the segments that we're going to do this year, we're going to do a monthly segment on religion. And the way we're going to do it is we specifically have speakers that will be, I can't say non-denominational because they're actually going to educate us on their faith, but they're going to be, they're not proselytizing. I think, did I pronounce that right? They're just going to come in and they're going to give us an educational seminar on what their faith believes. Because what we want to do is educate people on the different types of religions and what the real beliefs are. Not what the media tells us or what TV movies tell us, but the real beliefs. And to dispel some of the myths and beliefs. And just to kind of educate us a little bit, to have a little bit more tolerance towards people of different faiths and different beliefs. And maybe we can have a common thread of spirituality running through so that we can learn to get along better in 2010.
Mm-hmm.
So, Mountain Man, that I owe to you because you're the one that went out there and found Miss Cassandra, who happens to be an amazing person.
And she's not the only person who I've listened to in the last few weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Because I actually found another young lady. I'm trying to find her show again. And all the people that I am finding is on Blog Talk Radio. Okay.
You know, for those of you that listen, Blog Talk Radio is an amazing program. I mean, it's an amazing website. And the funny thing is that you would think that we would be very competitive with the airtime and the listeners' time, but we're not, which is really weird because we wind up listening to each other's shows. And as a result, we bring our listeners to someone else's show and vice versa. But it just seems funny to me that there's that feeling of benevolence and goodwill towards each other. And like with Cassandra, it's kind of like we kind of keep finding like-minded people. One of the premise of our show, the Diamond in the Rough, is it has to be motivational, it has to be inspiring. Because what we want people to realize that gorgeous, beautiful diamond only became a diamond after thousands of years of pressure and resistance and just constant friction from the outside elements. That's what makes an amazing person.
Mm-hmm. Now, here's a question.
Challenges.
Here's a question I want to ask you, Charlie.
Mm-hmm.
Is how
yes,
do you believe?
My best friend.
Excuse me.
No,
that's not what I was going to ask. But how do you feel about readings and zodiac signs and all that?
You know, it's funny you brought that up because a friend of mine is actually a psychic. He's been how can I explain it? He's a certified psychic. I mean, it's not one of these people that says they're psychics, but they're not. He's a real psychic. He actually has a certified school of metaphysics, which is the study of the science of people that are psychic, anything that's metaphysical in nature. And one of the things that we were talking about, because he actually has, he invited me to be a host on a talk show where people could ask questions about metaphysics and get more information on it. So it's funny that you bring that up. And what people forget is that that is a form of religion to some people as well, because we talked about the Wiccas, we talked about people that study the stars and people that study astrology and all these, and they're actually science. People get taught how to do this. So again, to me, if you take it serious as far as if that's your study and you perfect your craft and you're not using it to weasel people out of $800 for no reason, because that's one of the things my friend talked about on the show, was he said, you need to take care of your own problems. You can't go to a psychic and expect them. They can give you some inkling of what might happen. He's like, but that's not etched in stone. He's like, whatever actions you do can change the outcome of whatever that person saw. You can't sit there and say, I'll pay you $800 to no. He's like, it doesn't work that way. He's like, it's just like anything else.
And the reason why I bring that up, Charlie, is because that is one of the shows that I actually kind of went in on,
mm-hmm.
and I had actually talked, I had asked a couple of questions, and then I had went on their show over the phone and everything.
And it's funny because that's one of the areas, too, that has this ridiculous misconceptions about, because people think that it's hokey or it's fake or, you know, and sadly, you know why? Because there are a lot of people that rip people off. And
but you want to know something? When I went on to the show, because I had asked some questions, they actually blew my mind out, because I have actually been thinking about moving.
Mm-hmm.
Because of my disability and everything.
Right.
I have actually been thinking about maybe moving. I don't want to move, but I have been thinking about it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Because a lot of the insurances may pay for some things, but they may not pay for others.
Right. And see, that's exactly what my friend was talking about. And actually, someone asked me here what his name was, and I kept it on the website, Ahura. Ahura, we call him C affectionately because that's his middle initial. But see, one of the things he says is it basically boils down to how ethical and real the person that calls himself a psychic. Because a lot of misconceptions, and I'm glad we're covering this because it kind of will segue into what we were talking about with goals and stuff. But people don't realize, and this is because my friend explained this, Ahura said this, everybody has psychic ability. Everybody does. The media would like you to think that that's hokey or that's crazy or that you, and he's so funny. He has this term called fairy hairy with crystals. He's like, there's a misconception because that's what the media sells you. Everybody's psychic, but it all depends on us if we want to develop that talent and that ability, just like developing the ability to draw, the ability to sing, the ability to dance.
Mm-hmm.
For the most part, a lot of us have that. For example, people think that a lot of people can't sing. That's not true. 97% of the population can sing. Are they going to sound like Mariah Carey? Obviously not. But if they're properly trained, they can sing in a choir, they can harmonize.
Mm-hmm.
There's less than 3% of the population that are actually tone deaf, where they cannot carry a note and they sound like 20 cats in a bag getting beat with a bat.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But that's the misconception. Everybody thinks that you're born a singer. No, you can be born with an amazing voice or a good voice, but you need to develop that. And that's
right.
Like the same thing with being psychic or the other gifts that are there. So that's a big misconception that people have, that psychics are like one in a million. No, everybody has that ability. It depends if you develop it. And again, you can develop the ability for good, you can develop it for bad. I mean, psychics can go out there and, for example, I know that as a police officer, when I was a police officer, I got sent to a school. That's a school to teach you how to read people's body language.
Mm-hmm.
It was very pivotal when I was a homicide detective. Saved my life a couple of times when I was working undercover. It's
right.
Science. It's not an exact science, because what might be normal for one person isn't normal for another. I was there for a month to learn this.
Mm-hmm.
With that said, I could very easily take those observation skills and pass myself off as a psychic.
Right.
And then if I had bad intents, I could use that observational skill to take money from people by telling them what they want to hear. I can, you know, prey on people that have lost a loved one and tell them things that their loved ones are saying when it's not true. And that happens a lot. And that's what my friend says, is giving psychics a bad name. But then there's the psychics that are legitimate, that have helped police find bodies or missing victims or displaced objects, or just are there to be able to give people guidance in some ways. So it's like anything else, Chris. It all depends on what that person is doing with their talent and their ability. And that's one of the things that we want to do on this show when we talk about religions and faith. We want to get rid of that stigma that is
weird.
Oh, my goodness.
Well,
that person is
weird. And that's why I was starting to say this, is I am in the process of actually looking for this person again and seeing when their next show is, or her next show is. I've been actively looking on the Blog Talk Radio website to try to find this person, or excuse me, this person's show, so I can actually go on it again and have a decent maybe have a decent conversation with her after, and maybe see if she may want to come over, or just say, hey, I'm a co-host with on a different show, and we would love for you to come by and listen to our show.
That would be awesome, because that would definitely cover the thing, and I know my friend Ahura is going to be on. We actually have a whole segment that we're going to be doing with Ahura, because, like I said, he actually is one of the only schools in Maine, he's in the state of Maine, that's certified to teach metaphysics. And he's just an amazing person. On top of that, he has so much to explain. I think we need like a four-hour show just for him. So we're actually doing a special segment on him. I think it'll be next month when we are actually able to ground, because on top of the fact that he's the director of the school, he also is a filmmaker and a writer, a musician. It's funny because he did a short film last year called Anna Korea. It was about a 40-minute film, and it was a children's film. And he wrote the script, he produced it, directed, edited, starred in it, wrote all the musical scores for it, sang all the songs in it, recorded the songs with him and his wife and a few other people that are friends of his, and did it by himself obviously with the help of his family, but that's the extent of talent that he has. And that's where he was able to say to me, our talents are only limited by our ability and our desire to develop them. He self-taught himself to be a musician. He knows how to play the saxophone. He knows how to play the guitar. He knows how to play the piano, all self-taught. He knows how to paint, how to sculpt. He's a martial artist. He's one of the few certified male belly dancers, I started laughing because my friend Ahura, and I told him this, he's huge. He looks like a football linebacker. And he actually, again, that was another misconception. He showed me the difference between what real male belly dancing looked like, which is nothing like what female belly dancing is like. And his teacher was actually, if you Google her on Facebook, her name is Angela. She's one of the few people in the world that's certified in over 60 forms of belly dancing.
Wow. So, well, I really do appreciate that question in our chat room.
Yeah.
And for anybody, I would really encourage you to ask the questions in the chat room or call us at 347-989-1473 or Skype us at Ordinary Woman and join the show.
Exactly. And then you can go right into that. Or on the website, www.blogtalkradio.com, Ordinary Woman, WMN. /ordinary woman WMN. So with that said, I really want to continue with what we were talking about. So we encourage you guys, our listeners, and Mount Man and myself are also doing this. We were to pick three goals for this year. So the three goals are things that you have to. No, you don't have to. You want to. You want to make them goals that are easy for you to obtain, to do. Don't set yourself up to fail. Please don't make one of your goals, I'm going to lose 30 pounds in a month. because short of you losing your five-year-old, it's not going to happen. That's the only way you're going to lose 30 pounds in a month, unless you're deadly ill and wind up with a disease or wind up having surgery. Not to mention, it's just not healthy. I know there's a lot of popular TV shows out there that show people losing ridiculous amount of weight in a week, where it's 5 pounds. These people are in a supervised environment with nutritionists and exercise experts and doctors and nurses. And what you don't see is the fact that they're exercising 8, 9, 10 hours a day. And a lot of these people, when they leave the ranch, have problems that they gain the weight back because they just don't know how to maintain it. And it's just not healthy to do that. If you're thinking of one of your goals being to maybe slim down a little bit, you have to be realistic. If you're losing half a pound to a pound a week, that is awesome. It's amazing. It's healthy, and it's the right way to do it. But backing that up a little bit, it's not about the weight you lose. It's about the healthiness of that. Mm-hmm. When I was a police officer, I was a drill instructor, and one of the things we had was we had what we called the thinny fat. A thinny fat was a very skinny person that was not healthy at all. Because you could have someone that weighs 100, let's say you have a female, she's 5'4". If you look at the medical standard, if she weighs between 118 and 136 pounds, quote unquote, normal weight. I've had girls within those guidelines that couldn't run a quarter of a mile to save their life, couldn't walk a quarter of a mile, couldn't do a push-up, couldn't do a sit-up, basically were in horrendous shape because their way of maintaining that weight was by starving themselves or smoking cigarettes so they didn't get hungry or ways that their body wasn't healthy. Yet, I will be the first one to tell you that when I went to the police academy, they weighed me in and they said, you don't meet the requirements. You're quote-unquote overweight. And they sent me to a doctor to get what they call skin fold test, my fat content. Well, the doctor said, yes, you don't weigh 136 pounds. As a matter of fact, at that time I weighed 141 pounds, which people would say, wow, that's huge for someone that's only 5'4". I had an 18% body fat index, which for a woman is good. The difference is, and this is where women get screwed up, muscle weighs more than fat. So if you have a pound of fat to a pound of muscle, there's a huge difference because muscle is more compact. So you can have someone like myself that weighed 140 pounds, but I was wearing size 6-7 clothes. Yet this child who was 120 pounds, she's wearing size 8, yet I could outrun her, I could outmaneuver her. Again, because I was healthy. I was in shape, but I was also healthy. There's a huge difference, people. So if you're going to go out there and you think you need to lose weight, I got to lose weight. No. You need to back it up. You need to think about the quality of life. Why do you want to lose the weight? That should be the first question right off the bat. Again, why do you want to do this goal? That should be the very first question you ask yourself when you set your goal. Why do I want to do this? Mount Man, I'm going to pick on you again because you kind of volunteered to be the guinea pig. You
really? I didn't know I volunteered tonight to be a guinea pig.
You volunteered last week to be the guinea pig for the year.
Excuse me?
You opened the can of worms. Do you remember when you told me you went to see your doctor?
Yes.
And what did you say your doctor told you?
Okay, but I did not realize that I was going to be the full year guinea pig here.
We're leading by example, my man. Lead by example. No, so it's Mountain Man, and this is actually, you remember that now, right? So one of the things that Mountain Man said, which is how we came onto this segment, was he says, I went to see my doctor, and he says, I need to lose a few pounds.
Okay, I know. I'm just pulling some chain here.
Yes, he is, and I'm teasing you too. So the first question that I asked Mountain Man was, why? Why do you need to lose weight?
Why do you
answered. You said, because I want to be healthier.
And that is 100% true, people. I really do. And it's not only to be healthier, but it is also to help me to be able to get around to a lot more places, because as many of our listeners know, I use a wheelchair.
Mm-hmm.
And there are places that are in the town of Lowell, Massachusetts. A lot of places are not really handicap accessible because of a historical point.
Right. They're very old buildings that are very hard to upgrade. And they're not public buildings per se, so it's not like they have to upgrade. And case in point, there are times that Chris has wanted to come into our studio, and unfortunately, not a place you can navigate easily in a wheelchair. So with the fact that Chris was willing to share that with us, it goes to show the fact that he actually has an answer to why he would like to accomplish this goal. So listeners, that's what you need to do. You need to give yourself a legitimate reason that you're comfortable with and that will motivate you to accomplish your goals. We've seen a lot of women, and I'm not picking on you ladies, it's just that we are the ones that seem fascinated with weight loss. And then we wonder why our daughters get into it and why we have self-esteem issues. But the reality is that we've seen women that can lose 30, 40, 50 pounds because they have a high school reunion. They're getting married. They're going to be the bride and maid in somebody's wedding. Or
now,
they're going to go to a party where an ex-boyfriend that dumped them is going to be there. They want to make him jealous. Whatever.
Or an ex-girlfriend.
Or an ex-girlfriend.
I want to say something real quick here if I can.
Mm-hmm.
I am going to actually say this. Within the last week, I actually had helped a friend that lives in another building of where I live.
Right.
And she had asked for some big help because there was actually a cat running around our building.
Right.
Or the building that she had an apartment in. And she had hit me up on the computer and said, "Chris, help me." So I actually calmed her down a little bit,
mm-hmm.
and told her that I was going to call her so I could figure out what was going on.
Right.
And I had called her. She told me that there was a cat, a baby kitten, running around the apartment. And what could she do in order to get the kitten out of the building and to a safe place?
Right.
Lo and behold, after about maybe 5 minutes of me getting to 10 minutes of me going over there, we tried to catch the cat while I was sitting in my chair. And
okay, back up. Now, I just have this visual. I know I'm stopping you here. You were chasing a cat around in a wheelchair?
We were trying to get a cat in a carrier.
Right.
And the cat was very nervous. I had opened up the cage and had him watch me open up the cage, and he had gotten out of the hands of my friend.
Mm-hmm.
So now imagine this.
I'm imagining it right now. I'm trying not to laugh because I know you're being very serious. But that, no wonder that poor kid was scared.
Okay, but I had actually had my girlfriend go up to the second floor.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now you've seen my building, Charlie.
Right.
Seen,
now, my thing is, though, what motivated you to help her, though? I mean, was it
because it was an animal that was in need of help. Now, for a lot of our listeners, you know I'm in a wheelchair, okay? Mm-hmm. But you also know that I love animals, okay?
Right.
Believe it or not, I can walk a very little bit, people.
Right.
Okay, now, Charlie, imagine this. I got out of my chair and physically walked up one flight of stairs.
Right.
To the second floor.
Mm-hmm.
Sat on the floor right near the stairs.
Right.
Now, if I had a rope or something that was attached to the chair,
right,
I would have tossed the bulk of the rope up to the landing of the first flight of stairs. I would have pulled my chair up to that flight of stairs and continued up to our third floor.
So this was just to be able to rescue the cat.
This was just to be able to rescue a cat. Now, mind you, when I get motivated to do something, there is just no stopping me.
Now, and I'm glad you brought that up because I know our listeners are probably sitting there, well, what does him chasing the cat have to do with what they're talking about? But it's exactly what I'm talking about.
And I want, and for those listeners who are on our show tonight, I would actually encourage you, if you are in our chat room, if you feel any question, if you have any questions, please type them in our chat room. I may see them, or ordinary woman may see them, and we'll ask the questions if one of us don't see the chat room because one of us.
Right. Now the thing is that with you, Chris, and this is why I'm glad you brought this up, is the fact that if I had said to you, okay, you know, you mentioned that you wanted to get healthier and you want to work out and you want to, you know, adjust your weight a little bit. Let's go work out. I'm going to have you walk up this flight of stairs just to. You would have probably given me 1,000 reasons why you couldn't do it, you didn't want to do it, it was just not something that you were thinking about, or you would have thought that it was too hard for you. Yet, because you were so motivated for your love of animals to rescue this cat, it was something that you did without even thinking about.
And you want
to
know something, Charlie?
To that point. Mm-hmm.
You want to know something?
Mm-hmm.
Remember the question you had said about the studio?
Right.
Okay, now to our listeners, and I'm going to have Charlie, because this is this goes into what our segment is and one of my resolutions for this year. Okay,
mm-hmm.
Now, Charlie, if you can kind of describe what the area is like for the studio.
Right,
so,
and see, these are things that we take for granted because that's one of the reasons why we decided on do this segment on resolutions, because we have to come to the point, and I know Anthony Robbins is real good at mentioning this. Tony Robbins did a segment where he said, there comes a time in life when it's more painful not to do it than to finally do it. A lot of us don't do things in life that we feel we should be doing just because we think it's too painful. It's too hard to work out, it's too hard to lose weight, but we have all these excuses. But it comes a time in our life where the fact that we're not doing these things is a lot more painful than if we actually did them. For example, paying bills or adjusting our weight or taking care of our health or working on our relationships. So that's where the resolutions come in. We're like, all right, this is really killing me because I just spent the whole year, I didn't do anything that I said I was going to do, I'm going to start over. But
okay,
the pain isn't that great yet. And for you, for our listeners, for Chris to be able to come into the studio, he has to physically go up 3 flights of stairs. And the building that we're in, it's a very old building. It's not a public building, so it doesn't have to be upgraded to be handicapped. There's no elevator. And there's twists and turns on these stairwells for him to be able to get into where the studio is set up. Not something that he can do in a wheelchair, something that he can do easily with crutches, or if, like Chris said to me, if I could adjust my weight a little bit, it was something that I could do. So in reality, that's what has motivated him, because we know as co-hosts that it's very different when you have the person in the studio with you, where you can see their facial expressions, where you can give each other silent signals to know what goes next. I can give you a note, you can give me a note, we can segue into each other. One of the challenges that we've had to be able to do the show is that sometimes we wind up stepping on each other, or we kind of go different ways because we don't have those silent clues. Our secret weapon is, you know, chatting on Facebook to, okay, I'm going to say this, you say that.
Mm-hmm.
That's what motivated.
I don't even have up right now.
I know. So that's what has motivated. That's been his. Epiphany,
well,
his thing of saying, this is something that I really, really want to do.
And not
I'm
only
passionate
that.
About it.
And not only that, Charlie,
mm-hmm.
there was some mention off the air that we might be going into another studio. But what really had motivated me was I think there are about maybe 10 or 12 steps in the apartments where I live.
Mm-hmm.
And mind you, I am over 200 pounds, okay?
Right.
And I'm not going to go any higher than that, but to say I'm over 200 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, just for these 10 or 12 steps that I went up to within the last couple of weeks, when I got to that first landing, I was kind of out of breath. But it was something telling me I needed to do this in order for the cat's safety. Okay.
Now, and see, and that's what's funny. I'm going to stop you right there. Because we humans are funny when we have this altruism that all of a sudden, because it's about someone else, we will do it. We hear these stories all the time. You know, the tiny mom that lifts the car to get it out of her child's way so she can take the child out of the car, or the fireman that runs into a burning building, regardless of their safety, to take someone else. Perfect example was all the stories from 9/11. So here in your case, you are willing to do certain things for the safety of this cat, this kitty cat, yet isn't it silly how we as humans will not take that same time or effort for ourselves?
But actually, to me, I am taking that effort.
Now you are. Right.
Now I am.
Because I gave you the carrot, and the carrot has been to be able to be in the studio, which is what Anthony Robbins was talking about. Once we have that where it's more painful to not do it than to do it. Because knowing the way, for our listeners, knowing the way Chris is, he's amazing. I mean, the stuff he does is great. And the level and the quality of our show would just go through the roof when we're both in the studio, because it's just more professional, more able. And then not only that, we've got in the wings to turn this into a television talk show where our guests will actually be coming into the studio and be able to be filmed in live audience and that whole bit. Again, not happening if, you know, man doesn't have the ability to come into the building. So, again, these are things that need to motivate us, but we need to find our own motivators. We can't use the doctor's motivator. I'm sorry, the doctor could tell me until I'm blue in the face that you need to lose weight, great. You know
and
what?
That's exactly
going to happen.
And that's exactly what was being said to me. Okay, now that I've had my procedures done within the past 2 years, I've had a couple of procedures done the past two years,
mm-hmm.
My motivation has been this show. And not only that, Charlie, or new woman, whatever, however we want to go here,
mm-hmm.
But believe it or not, I just realized something. We've known each other over 4 years.
Yes.
Okay. Now, within the last year, we've talked about the show.
Right.
Okay. And since we started talking about the show, you're right. It's talking until you're blue in the face. But to me, this is a job. And I've said this in the past on other shows. This is a job for me to be able to, and you have helped me to do this job, or I have helped you to do this job one way or another.
And that's another thing, too, that is part of this job for our listeners, and you guys, our listeners, have to think this about this, too. What limitations have you set on yourself by some of the habits that you have that you're trying to change? And I know for Mountain Man, it's got to be very difficult because in the last 3 months that we started the show, I myself have gone to a good, 6, 8, 9, 10 pretty decent events that you would have been a part of. The mobility was an issue.
And,
you know, like award ceremonies. We went to a couple of movie premieres. So for people to realize, and we actually had a segment on disabilities, people with disabilities.
I'm sure we're going to have another segment. But
yes,
I have to hold on one sec. I have to hold you up 1 second there. We need to do a correction in the chat room of Ordinary Woman, the second line. What is that number?
That number is 2010, but I got ahead of myself.
For our listeners, I just...
It's 2010.
I had just clicked over to our chat room from our switchboard because I have the ability, I'm able to at least switch over, but I don't stay over in our chat room. That is why Ordinary Woman has the chat room, And I really do encourage you guys to call in and ask us questions. That is one, I think, is one of our, I would like one of our shows to really have our listeners call in, chat on our chat room this year. And if you guys really do have any questions and have any suggestions for a resolution for 2010,
right. And then
that.
One of the things that came up out of this was when I was saying that because Chris wants to take this as a job where it's serious, and you never know where it's going to go. I mean, it's a reality. We're passionate about what we do, and you never know. You never know where we might be on Blog Talk Radio forever, or who knows. You get picked up. You get syndicated. I mean, we've grown so much in the last 3 months that it's just blown my mind. We have people from all over the country that write to us. We have people from overseas that have written to us. So it's been very humbling. And just amazing to me how much the simple concept of highlighting ordinary people that are doing extraordinary things, which in reality there is no such thing as an ordinary person. So for Chris, I know when you have the opportunity to go to one of these events, and you can't because a lot of listeners might not realize that when you have handicap to deal with, everything has to be planned out like a wedding. Like, it's down to, like, is there a bathroom nearby? How many stairs are there? Is there an elevator? Is there parking? Is there ice? Is it raining? Is it snowing? How wide are the aisles? How many seats are available? Where will I be able to sit if there's an emergency like a fire? All that stuff. People don't realize that. And it really burns me that we take that for granted. And I know for Chris, it's frustrating because there's all these wonderful events
that I'd love to go to. And this,
we would have loved
to
go,
and prime example, this weekend.
Yes.
I really would like to go.
Right.
Okay.
Exactly. But because it's so much planning, and not only that, it has to be frustrating when you're dealing with that. And then on top of that, you have to deal with the ignorance of people where they look at you less than a human being because just coincidentally your legs don't work. Well, sadly, there's a lot of people that their common sense isn't working and I don't look at you any less. I treat you like a human being. So, again, these are the things that we talked about and realized that these are the things that Chris wanted to work. And that's what's going to motivate him, not the fact that the doctor's telling him or anybody's telling him. And Mountain Man understands that he has a chance to actually help himself a little bit. So, I mean, because Mountain Man, you actually realize that if you did do what the doctor was telling you and you're motivated to, you could actually not need to use the wheelchair as much. Isn't that correct?
Exactly. And there is one big motivation, resolution, whatever you want to call it, okay? For a lot of our regular listeners, you know what we're talking about. Okay, I would really challenge or really like to motivate you to kind of put yourself in a person with a disability's shoes. Kind of figure out what is it like, what would you do if you were disabled? Okay,
right.
Pretend granted, and I've seen this 100% a lot of times. Okay, and Charlie hit on this a little bit. You're right. Handicap parking or disabled parking at a mall.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, think about it this way. You're in a wheelchair, and you come up to a mall, and you see a vehicle that has no wheelchair markings on it.
Right.
The plate is not marked as a handicap plate, or the tags are not on the rearview mirror or in the dashboard.
Right.
Okay. Keep it in your mind that those spaces are really designed for people who are really disabled. Even
and
though you may be running into the store for one
true,
or 2 minutes.
Right. But the other thing, too, Mountain Man, that people forget, and I know I've discussed this with my children, is sometimes you can't see the handicap. The handicap could be someone with a really bad heart condition or real bad asthma or emphysema. So just because you don't see that person physically handicapped, there's a reason why that spot's there and there's a reason why that person has a placard. And by the same token, I also encourage our listeners, I've seen this too, and when I was a police officer, it would burn my goat that you would see people using their relatives' handicapped house placards to get around the mm-hmm. system, and then that's not fair to someone that really needs a spot. So you have to be considerate of that fact. Just because a person can drive does not mean they can easily navigate around the area to be able to get in and out of where they're going. So this is the conversation that started this all of this back in, I think, October when Chris was on the show talking about handicaps, disabilities, was what actually started us to say, okay, what are the motivators that are going to get us to actually accomplish the goals? And for Chris, that was the motivator, to be able to live a better quality of life where he's not limited by the fact that he really feels the need to get into a little bit better shape, to be able to move around, navigate a lot easier than he does right now. So that was the key right there. We talked, like I said, on the last show, we talked about our mindset. So this is kind of embellishing a little bit on the mindset. You need to find something that you, and only you, will motivate you enough to accomplish that goal.
And that's why I went in the way I went.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. I mean, I'll give you an example. I know I saw a documentary on a gentleman that he had been an alcoholic for 47 years. Alcoholic, couldn't hold a job to save his life.
Mm-hmm.
The catalyst for him was his sister passed away from cancer, which is why I also bring it up. She passed away from breast cancer. She had three small children. Her husband had passed 10 years prior in an accident, so these children had nobody but this alcoholic uncle.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, there was no way the state was going to give custody to this uncle because he was an alcoholic.
Yep.
This was the motivator for him. He wanted those children. He wanted to do right by his sister. And he petitioned the court to give him 90 days to dry up and prove to them that he could be a proper guardian. This
mm-hmm.
man, in 90 days, accomplished what he was never able to do in 47 years. He sobered up, went into detox, sobered up, stopped drinking, got a job, maintained the job for 40 days. So he managed to detox in 50 days, got a
mm-hmm.
job, maintained that job. By the time he went to the hearing, he had had that job for 40 days, and he was, you know, a pivotal employee. So what wind up happening is the court, you know, went on a, okay, we'll see kind of thing, and little by little, and he wind up being the one that took custody of these children. He raised them, and he never drank again. And all three kids went on to college and went on to do amazing things. And as a matter of fact, the youngest actually became a doctor.
Amen.
Actually became a doctor to work with people that had substance abuse issues. That was his motivator. And sadly, I venture to say that had his sister not passed away, and had he not had to take care of those three children,
mm-hmm.
he probably would have drank himself into an early grave because nothing else was going to motivate him.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, that was something he wanted, to take care of those children, and that's what he needed to do. So that's why we keep hitting you, and I know it seems like we hit on it a lot, that if you don't have the right mindset and the right motivator and the right passion for the goals that you're going to accomplish, they're not going to happen, people. It's just going to be another list of frustrating resolutions, things on your to-do list that never get done.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's why kind of we're going to open up the show to what you had said, commented earlier.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to have monthly segments about different people with different things. Okay, and mostly
on that mindset. I think 2010 should be the year of change, a positive change. And I know it's funny, I'm sounding like Obama's campaign manager now because that's what they were talking. We need change. But legitimately what I'm talking about is just one of the good things that came out of the recession, and we talked about this on another show, and I know Mary actually sent me an email about it, and I'll read the email in a minute. One of the things that came out of that recession is that people suddenly changed in a good way. All of a sudden, when money was tight, we went back to simpler things. Instead of the huge electronics for the kids, we actually went down with toys, like board games, so we could play with them.
Mm-hmm.
We started doing things with our family, connecting more with our family. It just seemed to me that all of a sudden, the good thing that did come out of the recession was the simplification of our lives and us turning away from all the little toys and devices that are so expensive that keep us amused, but keep us away from our family. And I think that also is the catalyst that has brought us to me feeling and Mountain Man feeling that 2010 is a year of change, but in a good way, that we can reconnect to the human race, to each other, to those less advantages, less fortunate than us. Because remember, listeners, and I say this all the time, there, but for the grace of God, go I. I mean, it was, it could be very simple, the difference between the fact that I can walk and Chris is in a wheelchair, that I was adopted and Chris got stuck in foster care system for a while. It's just, it's not that Chris is any less fortunate than I am or I'm any luckier than him. It's just, that's just the cards we were dealt. But by the same token, Chris is a lot better person than I am. I will take what he is over who I am any day, because I honestly would not have put that much time and effort into chasing that poor cat. I mean, yeah, I would have like, yeah, kitty, 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 here's a little food, and that would have been about the extent, because I'm a wimp when it comes to the cold, and it's been bitterly cold in our area, so I'm not going to lie and say, well, I'll get, no, I'm sorry. I wasn't going to be me. I mean, I love animals, but I don't think I would have put as much effort as you did into it. But then that goes to show the kind of person that you are and that you've decided to become because of the challenges that you went through.
And that was part of my 2010 goal is, and that will remain for the rest of this year into the next year, to get as motivated as I can to be able to, and I know, and I'm going to make a prediction. Well, I want to say prediction.
As a prediction, we were talking about psychics earlier, so it's good. Let's make a prediction. Let's see how good you are at developing your psychic abilities, your psychic abilities.
I am going to strongly work out what I can.
Yes.
Because I would love to be able, by the summer, to be in that studio.
That would be awesome. Not only that, the other thing that I've been trying to get Mountain Man to be able to do is to go camping with us.
And I would love to go camping this year.
Yeah, because our family goes camping every year. My family's crazy, like, which is nuts. And we have the it's funny, we have the normal nuts and the nut nuts, and it's kind of divided, and it's a good time. I mean, it's a really good time, and if it's up in the mountains, it's a bit of a cut up there. So that's one of the other things that I know Mountain Man's been kind of motivated to try to do and go up there and hang out with the family to be able to go.
And for a lot of the listeners, that it is very challenging to go into the woods in a manual wheelchair.
Because it is. Oh, and real quick, Mountain Man, I want to tell you that New Hampshire Gives Back says that that's a great goal for your part, and I agree. I really do. I agree that it is a great goal. And it is tough, because the other thing, Mountain Man doesn't have a power wheelchair. He actually has the manual, so he has to, like, push himself everywhere he goes. And
now,
he doesn't have a vehicle, because he did have one, and he wound up having an accident with it and hasn't had one for a long time. So he has to navigate through public system, like public transportation.
And it's very challenging.
Part, it is. It's challenging for him, but he's able to do it. And that's the things that we take for granted. Like, I have a car in my driveway, and sometimes I'm lazy, like, it's not snowing, I'm not going to go out there. Or it's cold. Mountain Man, to him, it's like he has to do that, because what if the wheelchair tips over, if it gets stuck, or if it's too slippery? So, again, these are the things that, for me, have motivated me be a better person, because, like I said, the kind of person that Mountain Man is, his enthusiasm, his desire to help others goes above and beyond anything that I have. And it's just a testament to the kind of person that he is, and that he's decided that whatever challenges life has given him, he's going to turn them around into learning experiences and share them with others in a positive way.
Yes,
and that's why our mindset is so important. The other thing, too, that I want to leave you guys with, that we want to leave you guys with, is the baby steps. You've got to take those baby steps. I mean, we talked about this in the other shows. You can't run a marathon first time out. I ran a half marathon a few years ago, and it was tough, but I trained for it. And it would have been not as tough if I had trained even more. It's so funny. My son, who has never run a day in his life, actually chastised
well,
me.
Well, actually, to emphasize that, because a lot of our listeners know that you don't only have one son.
I have a bunch of them. Yes, we have a blended family. And it's funny, Bill, I can't say he never ran a day in his life. I'm saying he's not a runner. That's not his sport. He actually played football.
And that's why I'm asking, and that's where this question is coming from.
Chris, your namesake, Chris. He's it's funny. When I was doing a lot of road races, Chris would always come with me, and he was my time person. He would tell me what my time splits were, like at the one-mile marker and the two-mile whatever, and then he would tell me to either hurry up or slow down or whatever. But it was funny because he wasn't a runner. He didn't like running. He thought there was no point to it. He's like, why are you running? Just come right back to where you started from. And the only reason he came with me was because of the snacks. He loved the yogurt and the cookies and the cheese that they had at the end of the race. And he knew at the end of the race, all I wanted was water, so I wasn't going to eat them. So he would. And the other funny thing is that he used to, you know what he likes to do? He's so sneaky. He likes T-shirts, which is why I love doing road races, because I love T-shirts. I like collecting them. Well, the sneaky kid, he's 21 now, but at the time I think he was like 11 when I started doing road races. He figured out that he volunteered on the course. They would give him a free T-shirt, so he didn't have to run the race to get one.
Kudos to Chris, because I'll tell you this. I don't think a lot of our listeners know, but I'm also an amateur radio operator, otherwise known as ham radio.
Right.
And for a lot of the people, Massachusetts has the Boston Marathon every April.
Yes.
And I had actually volunteered to be one of those amateur radio people in a Boston Marathon one year and helped out the Red Cross and all that. And you know,
it goes to show that you can actually, you know, see, that's what blows my mind about you, Chris. I mean, you can't run the marathon, but you find ways to give back and to support others, even though you yourself are in a wheelchair.
And that's why I know I said that by this summertime that I want to be able to come into the studio.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm actually going to push myself even harder.
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Yes. I actually told Chris this a couple of months ago, and you can tell how much he's come with the mindset working, that he's worked. Do you remember me, Chris, telling you I said, pretty soon you're going to be running around, you're not going to need the crutches?
Uh-huh.
I said, I'm going to sell your wheelchair on eBay. That's what I said. He laughs. He thinks I'm kidding. I am going to sell your wheelchair on eBay because I know that you're going to do such an amazing job that you're going to be mobile. And that's because your mindset. And I know you. You're a strong person. You can do anything you set your mind to.
Now, mind you, the Boston Marathon is 26 point something miles.
26.2, brother.
Okay.
And I can tell you where every point was.
Okay. I know. You probably have helped out in that when you were in the state police or whatever.
Yes.
I know you probably helped out.
Kudos to those runners. That's one of my goals before I turn 50 is to run the Boston Marathon. I've done the half marathon, and I'm getting there.
We'll get you there. We'll get you there.
I'll sell your wheelchair on eBay, and then you can come get me to go and finish the marathon. And I actually, it's funny because one year I did get the opportunity to run the marathon. But I have to have, that was the year I had foot surgery. Remember I was in crutches?
Yes,
and,
I remember.
If, yeah, for our listeners, you have to qualify for the Boston Marathon, but I actually got the opportunity. I got offered a number for the Boston Marathon if I did a fundraiser for breast cancer and, this is horrible, it just escapes me. It was for breast cancer and diabetes, for diabetes. So I wasn't able to do it that year because my surgery turned out to be a lot year than it should have been, and I'm still kind of recovering a little bit from that. But that's my goal. Before I'm 50, I plan on running the Boston Marathon to raise funds for a worthy organization, and I'm hoping to do a couple of them.
And I want to encourage all our listeners to give us good encouragement this year to both of us.
And it's going to go both ways, because that's the reason why we're using ourselves as guinea pigs. Because, you know, guys, I am so tired of my mother-in-law. I love this woman so much. She passed a few years ago from breast cancer, like I mentioned. She was a riot. She had diabetes, and she came home one day, and she was as mad as a wet hen. She said to me, "Do you know what my doctor had the nerve to tell me?" And I'm like, "Oh, man," because this woman was sweet as all. So I couldn't understand what he said to her that she was so upset. She said to me that I had to lose 15 pounds, and you know, to help my diabetes. And I said, "But, you know, why are you so upset?" She's like, "The man weighs like 400 pounds, and he's telling me I need to lose weight." And it was funny to me the way she said it, because she's like, "He's a doctor. He should be an example to his patients." And she's like, and as a matter of fact, when that's why she went to switching doctors. She's like, "The doctor's actually like leaning on the table, whatever, and he could barely breathe correctly because he was so out of shape." And she says, "If it didn't give me any confidence in this man that he was a trained medical professional and was in such horrendous shape that he couldn't show me how to be healthy. He couldn't show me how that was." So it was funny to me when she said that, because of the fact that we need to be an example. I mean, we really do. Hey, Scoop Blogger, how are you? She just jumped into the chat room, not to lose my train of thought.
Did she?
You need to be an example. Yes, she did. She's my girl.
Scoop Blogger, hey, yeah. How are you?
And you know, she knows what I'm talking about, too, because she's in the medical profession as well. But the reality is that I feel that we need to be an example, and that's something that I want to do. I mean, it's great to go out and collect tons of money for a charity, but then, you know, you have the I'll write a check mentality. I know that I did a benefit a few months ago, which was awesome. This gentleman, he wanted to raise money for breast cancer, so he wound up doing this dinner theater thing that was just awesome. We had so much fun with it, and it was fun, but you know what? I saw him work his butt off to raise that money, and then on top of that, after working for months on this play and preparing the food because it was a dinner theater, he went out and walked for the 3 days. So he was leading by example. He wasn't just like, "All right, I'll write a check," kind of thing. So that's the reason why we're going to do it this way. We want to be an example to you guys, but by the same token, we need you guys to be our support system, because it's just so important for us to help each other out, because 2010, I have a feeling, can be an amazing year if we actually do the things the way we want to do them. So, again, we have 8 minutes left, but to reiterate, this is what you guys need to think about in the next couple of days. What is your
now,
mindset?
Here
what
is my
is
question.
That mindset? What question? What is it? What is it?
I know you that you have an email there. Is it from our famous Mary that we both know on the show?
Yes, yes, yes. Mary had an email real quick. So I'm just going to say these things, and then I'm going to Mary's email, because it's going to tie in nicely. Your mindset, people, where is it? What are you thinking about? What is going through your mind? Like I tell my kids, what were you thinking? That's not a negative thing, people. It can be a good thing. What are you thinking? The goals that you're setting for 2010, are they your goals? Are you doing them because you really want to and you're excited about them? Or is it something that's being shoved down your throat and you really don't want to do it and you're going to be miserable about it? And you're just setting yourself up to be not too happy when December 31st comes because you didn't get them done.
Mm-hmm.
The action. What action are you taking? Baby steps. Baby steps, people. Whatever little things you did or are going to do to get them done. We talked about weight because that's the big one. Besides
mm-hmm.
saving money, weight loss is the number two thing. I never discuss weight. I'm one of these women that I gauge myself by, can I run up the stairs without gasping? I'm doing good. If I'm in a size 8 or a size 12, as long as I feel good in it, I don't care what number is on the back of my neck. That's irrelevant.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't dictate who I am. Which is funny because, Chris, you're always talking about the fact that you're a person living with disabilities. You're not disabled.
Mm-hmm.
Yet us women have the tendency to gauge whether we're going to have a good day or a bad day by the number on the scale, which I threw out the window 10 years ago. Or
and I'm thankful.
By the number, yeah, or by the number that
okay.
is on the back of our clothes. You know what? That doesn't just, the fact that it's 8, 10, 12, 6, 2, 22, 25, 37.
Whatever the number.
Who I am.
We've thrown those numbers out, basically.
Right. What it means to me is the quality of life that I have. And it's very important to be able to dictate that. And I, Scoop Blogger, I love you, Scoop Blogger, because she's awesome. She just made a comment, and I think it's awesome. It says, it helps to know your purpose in life and some of your values, and then see how they make tie relate to your goals. Very important. Exactly. Exactly what I'm trying to tell you. If you're just trying to come up with a goal, and people do this all the time. They think that if there's a magic number on that scale, that suddenly all their problems are going to go away and life is going to be perfect. It's not. They're still going to be here. You're just going to be a little lighter on the scale and a little grouchier because you haven't eaten for 6 months. Change your mindset. That's the three things. So we're going to encourage you guys to do that. She's so cool, Scoop Blogger, because I said she's in the medical profession. She actually used to teach these stuff at a healthcare provider's a long time ago, and I've been after her. She's such a busy woman. We're going to have her on the show because I would love for her to talk about this even
and
more.
And I would encourage her to accept your invitation to come on this show.
Oh, honey, it's not that she hasn't accepted it. It's just that this woman is so popular and so busy. She's, like, awesome, awesome. So I'm going to have to corral her one of these days to get her on the show. I can't wait because she's going to definitely be a treat to our listeners. So
well,
guys,
is this. Because knowing Scoop Blogger as I do, and I was chuckling earlier because she had made a comment earlier that happy as a clam.
I love that.
I was chuckling because I had switched over to it, and I chuckled there as ordinary woman was doing her spiel there, and I wanted her to know what I was chuckling about, and it wasn't because of what she was saying. It was because one of you in the chat room had said.
Yes.
Okay.
And the thing is, so guys, we have about 4 minutes, and pretty soon the lady's going to be talking in Mount Manzia. But definitely, guys, please, 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 we're going to be back here on Monday, so you have till Monday. Figure out what your three goals are going to be. Really, do it. It's going to be amazing. It's going to be awesome. It's going to be exciting. It's not like, oh, okay. We're going to want to do this, and we're going to be passionate about it, and it's going to be a great thing. And just think about us changing our mindset to look at things in the positive way. Remember, the glass is half full, not half empty. It all depends on how we look at it. So I encourage you guys to figure out what your goals are going to be. Email them. Talk to us. We're going to encourage each other. We're going to walk ourselves through this, all of us together as a family for this year, so that come December 31st, 2010, we can talk and say, wow, look at all that stuff we accomplished. Isn't that cool? Mountain Man will be on the talk show with me. Amazing. And, you know, I love this. Scoop Blogger says, S, specific goal. M, measurable. Make it something that you can measure. A, attainable. R, realistic. T, timing element equals smart goals. I love it. I'm going to put that up on our blog so people can read it on our segment. That's exactly what we've been talking about. Do not set yourself up to fail, people. Set up yourself to win, because one little victory, one tiny, tiny little victory is going to equal a bigger one and a bigger one and a bigger one. And then watch out, world, because here we come. So on that spiel, Mountain Man, it's been great. I'm so glad you were here, and I'm so glad that you're going to have an amazing weekend. So we can say goodbye. Oh, and Mary, to answer your email.
Because I've got about a minute on my end.
It's short and sweet. Mary says, thank you. Yes, she said, thank you. I am so glad that you guys made me realize that I, too, can do this. Yes, not you, we. We're going to accomplish this. So, Mountain Man, give us the tagline, and we can go to the music.
And I'm going to have you put that same one as we opened with on there. Don't let anyone ever, ever steal your dreams away.
That's right. And from my girl, Smiley, she gave me a new tagline this year, which I'm looking at on my little snow globe. Nothing is impossible to the willing heart. So get it, do it, and we're going to go out with this song from ASG. Get it. Have a great weekend, guys, and we'll see you again on Monday.
Open your eyes and realize ADF and ASG. Mind goes so high, walking through the door, make y'all scream for more. Sounds so sick, it hits you through your core. That's right. Charlie, I'll give you a call in a couple of minutes.
Okay.